Go ahead, say something, babe.
Test, test. So glad to be here.
Nice.
This is what we call sarcasm, folks.
Welcome to How I See It with me, Mark Pratt, and
Justin Sternberg. This is a podcast that works to counter cultural polarization through thoughtful conversations. Hello and welcome to How I See It. This is an exciting one for us. It is our first episode with guests, illustrious guests. And my one of those guests is texting me right now. That's what you're hearing, the ding. That would be my wife texting me saying, go get ready. But I'm recording this real quick to just tell you we're really excited to have Chris and Megan join us. Megan being my wife, Chris being Mark's wife. And we have a really great conversation. It does get split up into two parts. So this will be part one this week, and we'll have part two next week just because it got a little long. But yeah, we're looking forward to having you meet our better halves, and I hope you enjoy the conversation as much as we did.
Exactly. That's what I'm saying.
We're not recording anything, are we?
No, I don't know what all this is.
What's these microphones for?
So the question, I guess I'm thinking about people who don't know us. Like, what do they want to know about you guys, and why are we doing this? You know, like, mm-hmm. What's the...
Yeah. And I think part of it, too, if I may say, was we know we want to have guests.
Yes.
On the podcast. And in all honesty, I would say Justin and I aren't who we are without you guys. So even in that process...
This is recorded.
Yeah,
no.
Even in the process, though, of being not sarcastic.
That's humor. That's humor.
Okay.
But in all honesty, being able to recognize that would be a part of who we'd want to be able to have a podcast with first, out of a honor for you guys being able to influence who we are. So I guess in some ways, that being said, how did you guys meet?
Me
us.
And Chris?
No.
How did we meet? We met.
So by us guys.
Yes.
He's talking about
me and you?
Megan and Justin.
Oh, Megan and Justin, yes.
Mm-hmm. We met a long, long time ago.
In a galaxy far away.
Yes, very far away.
In Minnesota.
Yep. We met in 5th and 6th grade.
Wow.
We both came through into the school halfway through the year.
Yeah.
You shortly before me.
Yeah.
And when I came, all the kids.
Everyone stopped picking on me and started picking on you.
Wow.
They said that I was perfect for Justin because I was a nerd like him. So, from the beginning,
on them.
We were meant to be. I never knew that, though, until years later that they said that.
Mm.
Did you notice the shift when kids started picking on, or you?
They didn't pick on us.
Oh, okay.
I don't know why they just said that one thing, right?
Yeah, just the one thing. I think that we were just joking.
I have big old glasses.
People picking on us, but.
And big permed hair.
Yeah.
Wow.
So.
And I had come from, we talked about homeschool before.
Yes.
And emotional intelligence. Well, I was that kid. I was in a homeschool environment.
Okay.
And, like, my emotional intelligence was a little bit low. I wasn't used to being around kids. So
sure.
I was a little bit awkward and a little bit nerdy.
Socially aware.
Not quite, right?
Yes.
Exactly. And so I think the kids kind of picked up on that, and I wasn't quite in the cool group. So when Megan came through the door, they're like, ha, she's going to be your girlfriend. So, it's not exactly, it wasn't necessarily meant to be prophetic or kind. It was more of a jab, but.
Wow.
I don't know what they saw. I just saw a beautiful blonde flowing in the wind.
I don't think so.
Maybe not.
He was attracted to your glasses.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Intelligence.
He does remind me that I wore a really ugly brown dress. the first day of school. So,
that's true.
Yeah, that's how we started.
Well, the neat part is you remember it.
Yeah.
You remember what she wore the minute she walked through the door, huh?
That's right.
Wow.
Yes.
Mesmerized.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. How about you guys? How'd you meet?
Go ahead, Ben.
So our story is very different.
Yeah, right? Mm-hmm.
True.
That's good.
We often say we wish we knew each other earlier in life because we were 24, 25.
Yeah. Maybe even 26, I might have been. But yeah, either way.
So we were
all 25.
We were kind of set up.
Yes.
Introduced by a mutual friend. It was supposed to be a blind date, and you can you can make any additions.
It's all good.
That you need.
It's all good.
And so we had set up a blind date and talked on the phone, and I came to the conclusion that he was a farmer from our conversation because he was talking about milking cows and going to the barn.
So you were a farmer.
I was a carpenter who grew up in a farming family.
Okay.
So I was well aware with the farming industry, and it, you know, I would help out my grandparents. Like when family members got sick, I would go in and milk cows and that kind of thing. And even a bunch of the construction I was doing was, you know, repairing silos and building additions on barns. And so, yeah, it was, I was, grew up very much.
This is brand new information for me, actually.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. This is definitely a long time
ago.
Now
I understand how
you
see it.
In that galaxy. This is my galaxy far away. And it does impact how I see it.
It does, mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yes.
For sure.
Sorry, Chris. How you
doing? No, that's okay. And so we talked on the phone. We had set up a date. And I backed out at the last minute. Canceled because I thought he was a farmer. And I did not want to have any part of being a farmer's wife.
No offense to farmers.
No offense to farmers.
Yes.
My best friend, my roommate in college, married a farmer. And I knew how much it tied her down. Like, they had to milk the cows twice a day. They couldn't vacation. You know, a lot of life things that I really knew I didn't want. And so
including the odors.
What?
Yes.
Yes.
The that ones that Mark brought with him? Or...
Yes. So.
Yeah.
So you want to take it from there?
Oh, no. That's right. You did fine. Yeah, that was definitely how we met. We were at, well,
technically, we never met.
Yeah, we never met. I, believe it or not, I met Chris's brother and father at a Promise Keepers convention.
Oh, cool.
Prior to Chris and I ever meeting. And the mutual friend who introduced Chris and I actually introduced me to Chris's father at a Promise Keepers event long before. And unbeknownst to me, he said, that's a guy for Chris. That's a guy for Chris. So I think he had been working on it since then. And then I was working with I was working with our youth group at the time. And so I would take, you know, kids from our youth group up to this venue, they called it Family Life Ministries, for like, you know, events, song, you know, concerts and stuff like that. So I got to know this other individual, Vaughn's his name, by, you know, bringing our kids, and I got to know him, and that's how him and I struck it off. And then, yeah, he invited Chris and I after the date situation to be counselors at a youth camp. So that was where we actually first met, was at the youth camp. And I chuckle a little bit because it was funny. I'll let you explain that part of the story.
So the first day of camp, of course, everybody introduces everybody. And so I was teaching, and then they, this is Mark Pratt, and he's a carpenter. Like, I thought he was a farmer. And so there was a little miscommunication there. It's like, maybe I should reconsider this. And so, really, we met. That was the first day we met.
Yeah.
Was the first day of camp. So, yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah, that
and,
was...
And if Mark won't tell you this part, but he was dating somebody else at the same time, at the time. And so it took a little while for that all to fizzle out. And then...
That is another how I see it moment. Yeah. And so where I wouldn't consider us dating, but yeah, that's a how I see it moment.
Yeah.
And that's good. It's a part of our past, but yes.
So the real irony, of course, is that.
Oh yeah, that's true.
You know, we just bought a farm.
Yeah.
Yes.
And we have chickens in our backyard
oh,
and
man.
With the plans to have goats.
Yep.
And
Yeah.
Beef cattle, maybe? I don't know.
Yeah.
And all the smells.
And all the smells. I mean, 25 years later.
And you're a gardener.
I'm going to be married to a farmer.
Yeah.
Yes. You're a farmer.
That's
funny.
Oh, yes. I think, yeah, if you're married to a farmer, it might make you a farmer.
She prefers gardener. Okay. She is
I'm okay with a farmer's wife.
Yeah.
I don't know if I consider myself a farmer.
Yeah.
All right.
So.
Yeah. Same team. Yeah.
High five.
Yeah.
They just high-fived folks.
Yes.
So it's funny you mentioned, like, Mark, I guess, dating or being, you know. Well, what would you call it, Mark? You said, I don't know if you...
I had a female friend that I would run with. So, like, you know, it was an exercise partner type thing, yeah. But I wouldn't consider it a dating relationship. But that's how I see it.
Right, right.
I'm not even 100%, and you're welcome to interject. I'm not even 100% sure what made you think it was a quote unquote girlfriend, other than time spent together.
Yeah, I think that's what kind of defines a relationship is how much time you spend together.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So, yeah.
Yeah.
I can respect that too.
Yeah, and I guess looking in on that, it would be, I mean, you wouldn't necessarily see an opening probably, right? Like,
right.
Yeah.
Yeah. From Chris's perspective.
Yeah, you kind of make some assumptions about where it's probably heading or where...
Like maybe... that he's a farmer.
Right.
That's an assumption based on...
Well, and to be honest, conversation. I mean, camp ended and I was kind of hoping he'd call me.
Oh, right? Mark.
And yeah. He didn't.
I didn't. He didn't.
And so our friend, Vaughn, had to... Hey, Mark.
Yeah.
I think you should...
And that is in part true. I mean, it's very true. And how I see it is, once I found out about the farmer part, I thought she was a little snobby.
Oh, yeah.
You know, fair. It's like that. You know, that was the impression that I got, and it's not true, but that was still the impression that I got. It's like okay, you know.
That's fascinating. I mean, yeah,
she's still fascinating.
It's fascinating that we really ended up together after all these miscommunications or
miscues.
Miscues.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Misinterpretation, even.
Well, I mean, it is, I guess, fascinating, ironic how the term how I see it plays so well into those relational, like, beginnings, right? Like, yeah. It's very interesting.
Yeah.
And it's funny you kind of bring up the, like, Mark having someone or whatever and kind of. Because that's kind of a sticking point in our beginnings.
Oh.
Well, it's not really a sticking point, but it's like you still get...
What
does she still get? How's it go?
What is the word to describe?
Justin's thinking real hard on this one.
She still, like, pokes my ribs a few times about,
I
like...
I use it.
You had girlfriends, I didn't, so...
I didn't have girlfriends.
No girlfriends. No, I was the first... romantic relationship you had. Mm-hmm. So.
Unless you count my kindergarten boyfriend.
Ooh. Which I do, so.
Which
the truth comes out.
He wasn't really a boyfriend, though. Yeah. We just liked each other.
Did that end with your moving away? Did you have to move away from your kindergarten boyfriend?
No.
Oh.
I mean.
I was hoping there wasn't heartbreak written all over this story as you enter fifth grade.
No.
Which, I don't know if you want to bring this up, but I'll bring it up.
Go ahead.
Mark was actually engaged before.
Oh, that's true too.
Before we met, and so
not
that,
to the running partner. Different.
Not to the running partner.
No, that's true. That's true.
And so that brought a whole new dynamic of insecurities or comparison and
I thought he was just a simple farmer. But
very complex.
Girls on every side.
That's not exactly true, but and I think. Going back to your original statement of wishing we had met prior to, I think that's a part of it. If we could have met in some ways a similar fashion to you guys, I think it would have been different. Because I think even I can remember times at camp, there was definitely opportunity to talk with other female counselors. And I can remember a certain reactivity that you would have to that, you know, that was very understandable based on what you had experienced, you know. And I think that, you know, we bring that at times into relationship. And I think that's what, you know, can make marriage difficult for many people, not just us, but you know, that process of sometimes what I'm dealing with today, what we're, Chris and I are dealing with today, I might have very little to do with who Chris is.
Mm-hmm. But today.
Yes, but it has everything to do with where I came from, mm-hmm. and my interaction with other female, you know, females or even males for that matter. But, you know, it just impacts who I am, mm-hmm. and those insecurities that you talk about can tend to come bubbling to the surface and, mm-hmm. well, popping to the surface even, you know, mm-hmm. right, yeah. right. So, yeah, that's a great point, mm-hmm. because it did, yeah, there was definitely no doubt that having been engaged in and even being, I would call it cheated on, you know, that affected my mm-hmm. ability to trust Chris mm-hmm. early on, mm-hmm. you know, and I think that might even have added to that aloofness that I might have, you know, demonstrated early on when mm-hmm. it's like, okay, if I'm not for you, then c'est la vie. Yeah, you know, and I think that was definitely true in those dynamics. So yeah, thanks for sharing that, bringing that up. I honestly didn't know where you were going, mm-hmm. but yeah, and there again, it comes back to, you know, impacts how I see it, mm-hmm. based on where I come from and how our individual circumstances play into this marital relationship and other, you know, romantic relationships, mm-hmm. and I think it, as we talked about, even the fence sometimes. I think that's a good thing for younger, for our kids, young adult kids, to be mindful of how important relationships can be, and choosing people, having people in my life that I can do life well with, mm-hmm. versus those that, you know, I'm setting myself up because I know this person isn't necessarily the best choice for me, mm-hmm. but I, you know, need to be with someone. So then I, you know, make that choice. And I think, you know, that's, if there's anything that someone could learn from us, I would say, you know, choose relationships carefully. Because, mm-hmm. you know,
for sure,
even in the best of circumstances, you're not always guaranteed that that person will be the one.
Yeah. Even in a Christian context. I mean, you can't, just because someone's a Christian doesn't mean that you can trust, mm-hmm. with, you know, relationally, that it's the best person for you.
Sure. Yeah. It's not necessarily God ordained.
It's not healthy. It doesn't promise a healthy relationship.
That's true. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Very true.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, one interesting question that I think it's interesting, and is this idea of you guys, I guess, sitting on the sidelines as we're doing this podcast, saying, oh boy, you know, that kind of thing, or like, or yeah, you know, whatever it is. Like, you think about us in the basketball court of, you know, the court being the podcast, and you guys watching and listening on, or even cheering us on, or even coaching us. I'm curious, just kind of your initial thoughts about the whole thing. Like, is it a fun team to cheer for, or do you feel like sometimes you're, you know, like you want to coach a little more? I was just curious your thoughts on it in terms.
Megan,
of...
you want to start first? Or do you want me to start?
I mean, I don't. I can start.
Go ahead.
I just feel like, in the best way, Justin just loves going deeper and talking about things and having someone to share with. So I just really appreciate you and Mark's relationship, and just that you both love to talk, and now you're talking and recording it. And so I think all of that is just exactly what you should be doing. So I think that I am cheering for you in that respect. And I'm just very different than you in the fact of, like, I don't want to broadcast everything that I say. You know, like, I just I'm not like that at all. So I don't understand. I mean, I understand, because I know you, why you want to do it, but it's not like I'm like, this is the best thing ever. Let me be a part of it. Let me be asked to speak on the podcast.
pick me.
You know, but at the same time, like, I just think, like, you're getting to hash out a lot of things in your head, and you're getting, like, your cup filled just by talking with Mark, and so I appreciate that part about it very much.
Cool.
Mm-hmm. What are your thoughts, babe?
Well, when you first mentioned podcast, I thought, this will be fun to listen to. And I will say,
the question, is that sarcasm?
No, that is not sarcasm. That is truth.
Okay.
But the way you interact with one another is really wonderful. The friendship really comes through, which I think is good. And you've been meeting together for a long time, you know?
True.
And it's good kind of get a little peek into what you guys talk
about.
What
we talk about.
So that's fun. And then the other thing that came to mind earlier this week was that Mark has a way of praying for things without really telling me that he's praying for things.
Mm.
And the farm was an example of that. And then he's been praying about expanding his influence. And if you know Mark, he is very structured with his time. Not a lot of margin with his time.
Some would say calculated.
Some would say. And that would be an accurate description.
And I'd be okay with that description.
And so when you talk about expanding your influence, in my mind I'm thinking, okay, when is that going to happen? And how's that, what's that going to look like? And so as you guys started the podcast, I thought, maybe this is one of God's answers to that prayer. It's like he can influence in this way that is different from what we had pictured. But it's still an answer to prayer, maybe.
I think Justin, for years, like when we were younger, just always wanted to share his wisdom with everybody, and he did. Like every conversation, he was just constantly talking. And then he realized somewhere down the line, like, oh, like not everybody wants to hear what I have to say.
Well, and then also, not realizing I didn't have as much wisdom as.
Well, yes. Like, but even the wisdom you do have, like. You just all of a sudden got wise to, you know, kind of waiting for invitations to impart wisdom, and then it means more. And so this is a way to, like, say a lot of the good things that you've learned or talk about things that you want to know more about. And then people can tune in or tune out as they please or fast forward or whatever.
Yeah.
Or listen to it times five. So it goes real fast, you know, and that's kind of a nice, like that's what podcasts are, is like people talking about what they really want to talk about and they're really passionate about, and like finding the people that want to listen. So it's really perfect for that.
Yeah, because it's, I mean, it's called How I See It, but you're basically saying, like, I've always had a desire to share how I see it, right? And sometimes a little too passionately or a little too, I don't know
how you describe it. A little too zestful?
Sure, or in the wrong direction or at the wrong time or whatever it is, you know what I mean? And, yeah, it's an interesting perspective.
I was going to tell you that you have something in your teeth, and then I remembered we're recording, not
they
won't video.
See it.
There you go.
See it?
Okay. Yeah, I've often been told I have a face for radio, so it's okay.
You can have stuff in your teeth on the podcast.
But I was thinking it was interesting because even as Chris was mentioning my prayer life, I think even that to a certain degree has been influenced by my relationship with Justin. Because I think, you know, in the process of praying through the farm, it was kind of Justin brought up that prayer of Jabez. And I think that's where it really came, you know, it's like I got to a point where it's like, okay, God, Chris isn't really in favor of any more territory, you know,
especially farm.
Yes. we, but you know, at the same time, as you have provided this territory, this land, if you will, that's kind of where that came out of, is a desire to use it, you know, in such a way that, you know, God would be glorified. I think that's the motive behind my desire to influence, you know, an influence for the kingdom in itself, you know, not just that I would, but that he would be able to use the blessings he gives us in such a way that is a blessing to other people, and that influence, the opportunity for that influence would grow. And I think, you know, even some of that comes, this is kind of neat in some of that, because I think as we kind of do the marriage ministry stuff, I think that's another area, and it's just really fun to have, you know, people in that partnership of influence.
Yeah.
You know, and I'm thankful for you in that process, you know, where marriage is concerned, you in that process, you know, and it's just, you know, even the common bond we have through CR, mm-hmm. you know, to be able to have influence in people's lives, just to be able to have simple conversation.
Mm-hmm.
It's not always about, you know, life-changing moments. It's about, you know, simple conversations and interacting with people, yeah. you know, in a routine basis.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I think that's where that comes from for me.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah.
So how did you guys actually, when did you start dating then?
Uh-huh.
Like you.
Finally called me. Finally. What, that was maybe 2 months later?
Yeah, probably.
And we lived about an hour and a half away from one another. Oh, so wow. We only saw each other on weekends. And,
yep.
But that
factored into our relationship too, mm-hmm. once we got married.
Yeah.
You still lived an hour and a half away when you got married?
Well, I was still working an hour and a half away.
Oh.
So, okay. And in all honesty, I would come home. I would come home smelling like a carpenter. You know, I'd smell like pine, you know, and lumber and sawdust.
And sweat.
You know, and it wasn't, you know, because when we, you know, dated on the weekends, I smelled like cologne.
You cleaned up a little bit.
You know, of course, I'd go home, grab
a
shower.
And he always had a full wallet. Then,
yeah.
You know, it was great.
Yeah. It was that, yeah.
Then reality hit, yeah.
Yeah. Well, because, yeah, when you live an hour and a half away during the whole dating and then, you know, being engaged, you don't get a glimpse of all of,
right.
Yeah.
And I think
that's an interesting,
mm-hmm.
yeah, interesting.
Because it was a dating circumstance to where, mm-hmm. this is another interesting part too, because based on past experience, I had a desire based on my outlook, how I saw it was, I wanted to be able to meet Chris's family, and you know, because from my perspective, I wanted her to know that I wasn't someone who just wanted to meet out behind the 7-Eleven, you know, type. I wanted her to know that it was safe, and I had no...
I wouldn't have met you there.
But I had no qualms about going to her and meeting her family and being able to establish this relationship in such a way that said, okay, your family gets to interview me as well,
mm-hmm.
you know, and if they see any red flags, you know, you know... Because I could tell, you know, once I was a carpenter, it made a difference to her,
yeah.
you know?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yes.
It did.
But from your perspective, though, that wasn't...
Well, there's a lot more pressure when the family gets involved, right?
Yeah.
When it's just the two of you, it's just the two of you. But when everybody else's opinion is involved, it's not as simple.
So Mark was banking on your family falling in love with you, so you had no choice.
I can't even tell you.
I needed her
him.
Family.
Yeah. So he came in behind enemy lines and he started, you know.
I don't know if that was
infiltrated.
His tactic, but it worked.
Yeah. Nice. She had no choice.
They love him.
Good.
And vice versa.
Almost love him more than me. I think more than me. Oh. But that's okay. I have to accept that. Because we are one, right?
We are.
Yeah.
We are.
Right.
Yep. It's we. It's not me and you, it's us. Mm. So, yeah.
That's cool. Yeah. Family is a big part of our, I mean, very similar but different with us in that, you know, because we were still in high school when we started. We started as friends that, quote unquote, liked each other, right? Like, we knew we liked each other. We admitted that, but we also knew we weren't going to be able to date yet, you know, probably, I think.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
Yeah. I don't
so
think
take
we
us
even...
through that process. I mean, that process of being friends that would be interested in dating but can't date yet. Help me. What did that look like from a timeline?
Well,
it was
probably 9th and 10th grade. We started hanging out with groups of people, but kind of like intentionally trying to hang out.
Be adjacent.
Next to each other.
At these events, yeah.
Yeah. And my friends were very, they really liked you too.
Yeah,
like
they were my
friend.
Friends too. Yeah, we went to a small school, and so we are all pretty tight-knit.
Yeah.
Kind of the whole crew of
what and we played sports and
yeah.
stuff like that. yeah. and had lots of group activities. And we just kind of like scoot closer to each other during the activities. But I was very much like, just like, I'm not dating him. I'm not going to have a boyfriend.
Yeah. Well, we had different church upbringings too. And so there was kind of a cultural difference there in terms of what's acceptable for who to marry, that kind of thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And from both of our sides, it was kind of like, you don't really marry across that theological line, if that makes sense.
So we never even talked about it.
Yeah, not in the beginning, yeah. No.
And then
we just were like,
we're just buddies.
Yeah, we're buddies. Yeah.
So theological line, help me understand that. I mean,
Well, my church would probably say you shouldn't marry like a Pentecostal because it's
They're unequally yoked. Like they would use that, like that kind of that context.
I don't know if they really think that anymore, but.
Well, I mean, I don't know whether they think never that. I think that was the understanding that you had, and that was kind of implicit, was like, if you don't have aligned theological views, you know, the marriage is doomed to fail. You almost had this idea. I know that's kind of how I understood it from my side of the equation, from my church. It was like, and almost basically saying, if you marry outside of this church environment, you know, the relationship is very likely to fail unless you can bring them over. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And I knew Megan well enough to know, like, if she's coming over, you know, the Holy Spirit's going to have to shove her, which he's capable of, so I'm going to stick around and watch.
You know? There you go.
Which is ironic because it didn't really go that way. But yeah, so over the years, we just hung out and, of course, grew in love for each other. We grew in like.
I mean, it was kind of special because we weren't dating and neither of... I mean, you probably thought about it more than I did, but I was like, we're not dating. We're just friends. And so we got really, really close.
Yeah, but, you know, you guys mentioned insecurity, and I had a lack of self-esteem and self-confidence from as young as I can remember. So this played into it in the sense of, like... always knowing that she said she liked me, but not necessarily seeing it. Because, like she said, we're not dating, so I don't have
to. Was that denial on her part? Or...
No, I just I like to think so. But then, we started hanging out. And then, at some point, I don't remember how that transition happened, but I started going over to your house with your family.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Like, 10th and 11th.
Yeah. Like, her parents were very gracious to me. And, like, again,
they wanted to
Cindy,
keep an eye
her
on
mom,
you.
Yeah. Cindy, her mom was in the, like, at the school all the time.
All day long.
Volunteering,
yeah.
doing different things.
I can see that.
Yep.
And then
and
basketball.
Vic was the basketball coach for the girls. So, like, I knew them, and they knew me well enough. You know,
you were the assistant coach at that point, right?
Yes, exactly. not quite, but very much, we were all kind of involved in the same tribe, which is kind of cool.
Mm-hmm.
And so it wasn't that weird to extend that. Since they already knew everyone knew. And so it was a pretty natural transition for them to allow me to start coming over and just hanging out with them and their family, kind of like what you were saying. And I think I tried the same thing, you know, get them all to love me. And
Kelly liked you a lot.
Yeah. Kelly, Megan's younger sister, who you guys know, and has how many kids?
Four.
And counting? Four. No, but she was, you know, very young in elementary school. And she would come up to me on the couch. She'd be getting ready for bed, and she had this big, huge T-shirt, and she'd wrap it around her knees and sit next to me.
Snuggle up. And just talk.
So that's,
And Justin wasn't used to having kids
like,
around him.
What is
like,
this?
What is she doing? She just talked your ear
off. She's very affectionate. Yeah.
She loved
you. It was sweet. good memories. So.
Yeah.
Yeah, so getting involved with their family. But that was such an important part of my story to kind of have that safe environment, you know, of people that accepted and loved me, and it helped with some of the self-esteem stuff too, you know. But yeah, what are some, this is a good question Mark added, what are some, or I think you added it, right?
Might
fun
be.
Memories
fun memories.
Did you add that?
Oh yeah
what are some fun memories you guys
have? This is Chris is okay with this, I'm sure.
Fun can be a how I see it.
It can be. It can be. But I will admit that our first year of marriage wasn't necessarily... Fun wouldn't necessarily be the word I'd use to describe that entire year.
Yeah.
Sure. Maybe longer.
Yes, quite possibly. Yeah. Quite possibly. Because as seasoned as we were to the degree we were stubborn as we were. Yes. You know, our transition was tough.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know, and I was a workaholic at that point. I'll admit that. You know, and so it was tough for me to kind of step into that. But the one thing that how I see it came into play was I was an avid shooter. I would, you know, I just love to be outside. I love to be shooting. I would call myself more of a shooter than a hunter.
Okay.
You know, I just like that shooting sports type thing. And it was funny because early on, Chris made a statement to me that was basically drawing a line that said, okay, that can be, guns can be your thing. I'm okay with that. But don't ever, you know, expect me to shoot a gun. And I was fine with that. And the irony was we moved into Chris's grandparents' farmhouse. You know, it was actually moderating that ability to be close enough to work and close enough for Chris. So it kind of was a middle ground. And their farmhouse had just become empty and was broken into. So it met a need for everyone. Well, the funny part of that was we established our second home there, and we planted a garden. Well, the funny part of it was in this process of the garden, the woodchucks started coming after Chris's broccoli.
Woodchucks are a northern thing, I think.
Yes, they are groundhogs.
Yeah. I thought they only chucked wood.
Yes, but they're
no, they got broccoli too.
Punxsutawney Phil then. Groundhog Day. Everybody's heard. They would come and they started invading, I'll call it Chris's garden. They started chewing her broccoli.
Mm.
And I came home and Chris was furious. I mean, it's like, what are we going to do? It's like, well, we could shoot them. And it's like, I could see it. It's like, she says, teach me how to shoot that thing. it's a true story. I would put cans up on a bank, you know, tin cans and tell her, you know, and breathe in and the whole nine yards. This is how you load. And she started cracking those tin cans, you know, and it's like, and this was the funniest part for me. This is what makes the funny part of the story. There would be days that I would come home in the summertime, and you know, Chris was off from teaching, and she'd say, there's one up there, there's one over there, there's one, and she would shoot these woodchucks all day while I was gone. She'd put up the back window out of the bedroom, and she'd clip a woodchuck, you know, groundhog, and she got 29
woodchucks. That's amazing.
Yeah. Wow. We got 36 total. I only was able to shoot 7. Chris shot 29.
Wow.
And it was just, you know, she got, yeah.
That's so awesome.
The dance, of course, the death dance was a little different, but you know, it's like she just let them there, and it's like she'd say there's one here, and it was my job to dispose of them. So in that whole aspect of come such a long way, it's like she's come from that work. I'm not going to shoot you, that you can do that, but now she can shoot with just about anything.
That's awesome.
And within a couple of years, we took a trip and we were doing clay bird shooting and all sorts of cool stuff together.
So. That's cool.
Yeah, that was a big transition.
So never say never.
How I see it, huh?
Yeah. I mean, that's so interesting. You know, like how often I can recall times where we've had those conversations, like the I'll never or whatever. Like you draw those lines, and then it makes it really difficult to come back from sometimes. Right? I don't know if you felt that way with that. I mean, in that moment, I think maybe your anger was like, give me the gun.
It makes me think of your podcast changing your mind a little bit.
Yes. Like, yeah.
There really wasn't a good reason why I said I'm not going to pick up a gun, other than my upbringing.
Yeah, yeah.
I had no experience whatsoever, and it had a negative connotation.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And you can do your thing, I'll do my thing, it'll be fine.
Right.
But
sometimes our things benefit each other, though.
Sometimes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. What were you going
to
say, Justin?
Well, I was going to say, but also there is value to you do your thing, I'll do my thing. Like,
sure.
There's room for that in marriage, too, which
yeah.
I think
sure.
maybe isn't always communicated to younger. It's like, remember, you're going to be one, and you share everything.
Mm-hmm.
It was like, but also there's value in recognizing sometimes you separate so that you can come back. You know,
yeah.
So you know, you go do your thing this evening, I'll do my thing this evening, and you know,
mm-hmm.
like that happens.
Yeah.
Yeah. Right?
Yeah.
And I, it's interesting you bring that up because I think even, you know, now that Chris and I have adult children,
mm-hmm.
I think we tend to think about, you know, what their spouse is like.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, our kids are both, I'd say fairly, if not really athletic.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, their spouse and how that plays into our family dynamic has come up in conversation
mm-hmm.
before too, you know, and just being able to recognize that, yeah, some of those things they're not game changers, but yeah, they're pretty important in the whole scheme of family dynamic as we look at legacy, you know.
Well, our John plays with your Kelly, right? The game
yeah.
and Jack, Kelly
yeah.
Jackson. So, you know, gaming to John is a big deal. I mean, that's
mm-hmm.
part of his entertainment. And so when he dates
mm-hmm.
somebody who doesn't like to play games or is not athletic,
yeah.
like John, I mean, this, if you're talking lifelong, is this
yeah.
a good choice?
Yeah.
Not to say that people who don't game are bad people or people who don't play sports, but
yeah.
if you're looking for a lifelong
some alignment,
partner,
yeah.
Yeah, you
yeah.
want to have
it
some
does change, though, because... Like, I would have played games every day,
mm.
all
mm.
the time, and
mm.
he didn't want to.
Yeah, well, it's ironic you bring this up.
And so we changed, both of us, and I
yeah.
think now we play sometimes, and we both like it sometimes, but we're not, like,
mm.
I'm not as into it as Kelly is anymore, because he's not.
Mm.
Yeah.
And so it definitely...
Yeah, I didn't like playing games.
You did not.
Yeah.
No.
That's funny. I might have played into my not liking to lose.
Yes, because I would always win, wouldn't I?
She's kind of a winner.
Yeah.
It's annoying sometimes.
That's why you picked her.
That's why I'm on her team. Yes, exactly.
Right.
But when I'm not
well,
on her team...
And
yeah.
my whole family was so intense with games,
yeah.
too. So.
It's fun, but also, yeah,
it
was, yeah.
But it didn't become a huge part of our life.
Mm-hmm.
Especially after Catan left.
Yeah.
So we did play Catan for a while.
Catan kind of came in.
You like
Hurricane
Catan.
And then did that for a while. And,
mm-hmm.
yeah.
Season,
yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I thought it was funny and probably important to point out that your children are not yet married or have a
True.
Spouse.
And they're
you
also
saying,
very athletic, not fairly
athletic. Yeah, they're 22 and 20.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And they're both, you know, dating. They're not dating. They're...
Of the age to date.
Sure. I thought it was funny because you were saying spouses, and you were saying it's a deal breaker. And I'm like, just so everyone knows, they don't have a spouse. They're not like deciding to kick them out.
Yeah, I think of it in terms of
I know.
As we date, and you know, it's the choices. Those, yeah.
Yeah.
And we probably need to. I mean, I'll speak for myself. I probably need to back off and just be accepting of any
mm.
person that
mm.
our children bring home because. That's trusting their judgment.
Sure.
And, you know, that's something I need to work on.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. As the mom.
Yeah. Well, that, yeah, the mom, you know, especially, I think of a son,
mm-hmm.
That's a trope, right? Like, that's a common thing where there could be animosity towards the incoming.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But it's also like, that mama bear thing, like it's built in. Okay. So
mm-hmm.
if you don't want it, then it probably requires proactive effort versus,
definitely.
Right? Like
mm-hmm.
it's probably hard to do it differently, but it, you know, I don't know.
And I think there's something to adjusting, you know, in those moments. But I also
mm-hmm.
think there's something to be said for who Chris is.
Yes. Yeah.
You know, I respect the fact that you desire to make it easier. For anyone John would date, or Lizzie even for that matter. But yeah, I wouldn't want to see you change who you are because of that. You follow me? Because I think both of our kids value and appreciate who you are
mm-hmm.
in that wholeness.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know what I mean?
I think it's a good role model not to change depending on who's coming in and out of your front door.
And
absolutely.
And to have
mm-hmm.
healthy standards.
Sure.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. And I think at times we can fall into complacency, and I tend to date or choose someone who's convenient versus being able to recognize, okay, is this a, you know, is this someone who can spur me on? I think that's part of where I'm at.
Hey, thank you for listening to our podcast. If you like How I See It, please do all the things that podcasts tell you to do. Subscribe, rate, review, follow us, and or talk nicely about us on social media. If you want to reach out, the email is us@howiseeit.click. Yep, I said .click, as in .click. Please tell your friends about this show, and we'll see you on the next one.